appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Father in heaven, as we look into these verses, I pray that it would be your Holy Spirit that stirs our soul, that draws us nearer to you. Help us to understand the application to this text, to our lives, that we may stand our watch, that we may proclaim your truths, that we may be a people who live a life that honors you. We thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When we start out in this text, the first thing I want to point out to you is the very first phrase in verse 1, where it says, I will stand upon my watch. I will stand upon my watch. And what he's referencing is at that time in history, people would go to stand their watch. It may be that they oversaw a vineyard, and there would be towers at the corner of each vineyard. And their watch may be as simple as watching to make sure that nothing is going to come in and eat the fruit before it's harvested. It's ripe, but they need to get all the harvesters ready. So they're standing watch to make sure that the birds or the foxes, whatever, will not come in and eat all the hanging fruit. Or standing your watch could be as involved, as important as living in a walled city and coming to the outside points and standing and watching for a coming enemy. Or at this time in history, sometimes they would have remote posts every so many miles, and there would be a watchtower, and they would watch for oncoming peril. And as they saw it, they would send a runner to the next watchtower, to the next watchtower, and they would maintain communication. Today, we do that by radios or cell phones. Years ago, they did it by smoke signals or flags. Lots of different ways. But every generation is called to stand their watch. You and I in our lives, we have to stand our watch. I want you to look with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6. In your New Testament, Romans chapter 6. And I'm going to read to you verses 1 down through 4. And then we're going to make an application here to standing our watch. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 down through 4. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Here he is talking to you and I that are Christians, that have received Christ as our Savior. He's talking to us that have made a commitment to our faith. We have gone ahead and taken that first step of obedience. We have been baptized to tell all the world, to tell all our community that I have embraced the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says in that, we have shown the world that we have died to the old man and that we have become a new person in Christ. And he concludes by saying to us, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. So that is our watch for our time. You and I that are Christians, you and I that have accepted Christ, you and I that have made a commitment in our Christian walk, you and I that have become a part of a body of believers that we might serve God, we have to stand our watch and walk in the newness of our life. We have to look out over the kingdom of God, the vineyard that God has placed us in. And we need to serve the Lord faithfully that we might send out the message. If there be any peril coming, if there be Satan who's wreaking havoc and stealing fruit, whatever it may be that's transpiring in our life and in our community of fellow believers or community in a broader sense, we stand our watch as new people in Christ, choosing to turn from the old sins that so easily beset us, turning instead to that newness of life and embracing Christ in our walk in Him. This tower that we choose is not a physical tower that we climb up, but rather it's a spiritual tower where we choose to stand strong in our faith, strong in our walk, standing guard that we might honor the Lord in our lives. Look with me, if you would, as we move down into verses 2 and 3 of Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 down through 4. That first verse helped us to understand that our watchtower is personal. So personal, it represents our personal walk in Christ. As we come to verses 2 and 3, we see that we need to walk or we need to stand in our tower lawfully. Listen to what he says. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. What is he saying to us? He's saying to us that the message that he has for us, as those who are on their watchtower, as those who are standing ready, as those who are paying attention in life, as those who are concerned for the souls of others and the care for our own, he says, as we're watching, I want you to know that God has a message for each and every one of us. Now, certainly we hold within our hand a message from God. From the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, here we contain within these pages the message that God has for us. Certainly we know that 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, the watchtower that we are upon in our lives, as we look at the lawfulness of it, we are governed by what God has given to us. This message, this inspiration, this vision of truth, God says, here it is, and it is profitable and it is good that you and I might be thoroughly furnished in our lives. So he puts forth, as Habakkuk the prophet, this challenge to all of us that we might hear and listen and understand the vision that God has for us as we stand in our tower, prepared, caring, concerned, alert. God's law is our law. When we look in verse 2, it says, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. You and I, what we hold in our hand is God's law, that we might send it forth from in the hand of a runner, is what he's saying. So he's referencing those outposts. And he's saying, as the message passes from outpost to outpost, it's a true and sure message, and it's a message with authority. Take it and run with that to the next outpost, to the next destination, to the next generation, you and I in our lives. We take the message that God gives to us, and we pass it on. We pass it on to our children and our grandchildren, to our neighbors and our friends, to our nieces and our nephews, to our co-workers. You and I, as we are in the tower watching and caring for the souls of others as well as those who are in our lives, we lawfully pass on the truths that God has for each and every one of us. His law is our law, plainly written in our hearts and on the pages of the Bible, that we might send it forth as a transforming power. This week, we will go to youth camp. We have roughly 140 children enrolled for camp. Then we have the staff and pre-campers, children of the staff. We're right around 200 people, a little bit over 200. And as we come together, we are in that watchtower, listening and caring for all that God is concerned about. We will have at our feet the next generation to come, and we will pass on to them the tablet of message, the truth, the vision of God, that it might be carried forth so that 50 years from now, somebody will pass it on to the next generation. God has called us to empower the runner, to bring forth the truth that the Lord has revealed to us. When you look in verse 3, it says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time." And in our lives, right now, the day we're living is our appointed time. We can't expect the next generation to do it. We can't mourn or bemoan the previous generation in their effectiveness of doing it. The message we pass on has to be our message of this generation. We can't hope somebody else will do it. We can't mourn that somebody else didn't. But instead, when we look at the text, he says, "For this vision is yet for an appointed time." That's our time because we live today. He goes on, he says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie." Titus chapter 1, verse 2 in your Bible says that God cannot lie. And here he reminds us that his law, his vision, his truth, it cannot lie. It does not lie. Whatever it is that you need right now from God, maybe you need his wisdom, his guidance. Maybe he's beckoning to you about salvation. Or maybe he's beckoning to you about spiritual truth, application. Listen, God does not lie. If he's ministering to your soul and he's wooing you and beckoning you to take the next spiritual step to grow in your faith, then listen to him that you might run to the next generation and pass on that truth, that you might bring that vision, that message, that truth from God on forward, applied in your life, but ready to go to the next outpost. It is a timely message. It is an honest message. And when you look at the last part of verse 3, you see that it's a trustworthy message. Listen to what he says to us. He says, "But at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it surely will come. It will not tarry." He's telling you and I that the message that God has for us is true. It's trustworthy. Whatever it is that God is speaking to you about, he's going to bring it to pass. If you embrace his truths and you apply it sincerely and genuinely, it will come to pass. He says, wait on it. It will not tarry. He says, wait on what God has for you, what he has for me. Let him stir our soul as we embrace his truths. He wants us to understand that that which we do with his message is a lawful deed. It's an honorable thing for us to stand our watch and to care for the souls of others as well as the souls who are around us, those who are our own. We lawfully proclaim the truth of the vision that God has for this generation. As we come down into verse 4 of Habakkuk chapter 2, he goes on to say, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him." Wrong chapter. No, I've got it. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." And so as I was studying this and I jotted this down, I was looking at that very first phrase there.
where he talks to us about the soul being lifted up. He says his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. And it's kind of a paradox, because he's saying that within us, we are lifted up, but inside us, in our mind, we're puffed up, we're proud, we're lifted up, but inside us, we are not even upright. We're not up. We're not standing up. We're not in right position. And what he's referencing is sometimes we get to this prideful place in our lives where we say to ourselves, well, I am standing my watch. I am doing right. I am taking God's word. I am spreading the truth. I am sharing it with the next generation. I am doing what's right. And God says, inside here, you're not upright. You've allowed your pride to get in the way of your walk. And each of us, we have to guard against that. We have to be careful that we don't come to a place where we become self-righteous. And we think to ourselves, well, I've got a handle on it all. And God says, inside here, we don't. So we are reminded that as we stand our watch, we need to be faithful, faithful even in our hearts. You know, Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Each of us has to guard the doors to our watchtower and to keep pride out, to keep arrogance out, to keep self-righteousness out, that we might be the humble servants that God has called us to be. Matthew 23, verses 11 and 12 says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. This morning when I kind of gave us a little primer before I asked for volunteers to help move Tim and Julie, I said, you know, that's part of a church family, is helping one another once in a while, isn't it? Whatever it may be. It may be that one of us goes in for surgery and when they come out, they need a little bit of help. Might be that one of us moves and needs to get a truck loaded. Or it might be that a loved one is struggling and maybe we give them a little extra to help them through a tough time. Whatever it may be, we humble ourselves to help somebody else. That's what being a Christian is. God himself humbled himself to take upon himself the form of a man, that he might die on the cross for the sins of others, when he himself was the spotless Lamb of God. We learn that kind of humility. We learn that kind of servanthood from God himself through our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at this text here in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, we understand that we need to guard our watchtower from the infiltrating pride, that we might humble ourselves and be that runner that is a simple servant. He goes on, he says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. And I want you to kind of log that phrase into your mind. The just shall live by faith. Because when you come to the New Testament, that exact verse is quoted over and over again. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 tells us the just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11 tells us the just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 tells us, the just shall live by faith. Over and over again through the New Testament, they quote this Old Testament text to remind us that if we're going to be on our watchtower and we're going to care about the souls of others around us and those who are near to us, if we're going to send the message of truth to the next generation that they might pass it to the next, we ourselves must live by faith. You know, the Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. God takes it as an offense. When we do things in pride and arrogance, oh, I can do it, I don't need God. God says that is a sinful thing. For our God is the provider of all that which is good. And we humble ourselves before Him and we yield ourselves to Him. So He calls out to us that we might be a people that bears the truth that the just lives by faith, that we ourselves might apply it and practice it, that we might live to His honor and in His glory. I want you to look with me to very, very famous text in your New Testament, John chapter 3, verse 16. We hear it often quoted. You even see placards held up at big sporting events or concerts. You see people holding up a placard, John 3, 16. But they often neglect the following verses, verses 17 and verses 18. So I want you to see with me all of the text of John chapter 3, verses 16, 17, and 18. The most famous being verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Absolutely powerful text, powerful message, powerful vision from God to pass from generation to generation. But listen to the rest. Verse 17. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." We have to not be afraid to pass the message that salvation is only through Jesus Christ. He didn't come to the world to condemn the world. People try to make out that Christianity is a condemning faith, a negative faith. It's not. It's a message of truth and hope. He didn't come to the world to condemn the world. He came to the world that He might give to them everlasting life. That's the message that we are in our tower. That's we're watching to protect the work of God around the world, that we might let people know the enemy is coming. And Jesus is here to save. He is here to give everlasting life. That's our message of hope. That's our message of truth. As you go down and look with me, if you would, at verse 18. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You see, the message for us is a message of hope. Jesus has come to save. But it's also a message of warning. Those that will not receive Him, those that will not receive the hope and trust, those who will not receive the sacrifice that Christ made, He says, they're condemned already. So our message from the tower is the enemy is at hand. That here at our borders are those who would take from us our very soul. You and I, as we watch over the vineyard of all that's around us in the souls and people about us, those who we love and care, those who we work with and pray for, those who we would help in any way, He says, we look and we say, listen, you must receive Christ. The enemy is at hand. If you don't receive Christ, you are condemned already. But He didn't come to condemn you. He came to give you everlasting life. He didn't come to condemn the world. The world was already condemned in unbelief. He came to set them free from that unbelief. He came to give them hope and eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, we are standing our watch for our generation. We're doing our part in whatever part that may be. Maybe on your job or in your neighborhood, you are a bold witness and you let people know Christ has come to set you free. He's come to give you everlasting life. maybe as a parent or a grandparent. You're a prayer warrior and a consistent witness to the fact that Christ has come to set you free. We have to stand our watch faithfully. We need to do so lawfully. We need to do so in such a way that it is personal. Because we only have one shot at it. We've been assigned to the watch of our lifetime. And we ourselves must choose to do it according to the law of God. I'd like you to bow your heads with me as we come to the end of the service. And as your head is bowed and as you look in your heart, I simply ask you, are you living your life as on the watch? Standing your watch for your generation, for your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, your nieces, your nephews, your friends, your co-workers. Are you warning them that the enemy is at hand? Are you sharing with them the hope and truth that Jesus Christ has come to give them everlasting life? And maybe you're here this morning and you yourself have not yet called upon him for salvation. You yourself have not come to that place where you've humbled yourself to receive him. As your head is bowed and as you look in your heart, could this morning be the morning that you make that choice, you take that step, and you come? Let us open the Bible. Let us pray with you. Let us answer your questions that today you might receive Christ. Christian, maybe you need to recommit yourself to standing your watch. Lord in heaven, as we go into this invitation time, I pray for your Holy Spirit to move.